Well, this morning, this message, as I get into this message, I was preparing this, and it's one of those that kind of just hit my heart. You read the scriptures sometimes, and something you've read over and over and over, a familiar story, just impacts you a different way. There's just a piece of it that just grabs a hold of you, and that's kind of how this was for me. But as before I get into the scripture, have you found yourself at some point in your life doing something, and all of a sudden you think, like, what am I doing? Right? Like, this is not me. This is not something I would normally do. Like, it's uncharacteristic. I'm not meaning in a good way. I'm talking like you're being ornery and you're not normally ornery. Some of you guys are normally ornery. Maybe you're being extra ornery. You're doing something and you're just like, what is wrong with me? Like, I this is not me, and I don't know what I'm doing. It's not my character. Maybe it was influenced by someone or something that's going on in your life, but you're working in a way that you don't normally operate. It's just something that kind of snuck up on you, and you just find yourself doing it, and all of a sudden you're just kind of like, come on, man, like, what is wrong with me? And I think we've probably all find ourselves there a time or 12 in our lives, right? I mean, you could probably think of some instances maybe this week where you did something like that, and you just kind of like, man, I need to get with it. I need to come to my senses. I need to get with it and kind of get back on track. And we have this story in the scripture. You guys will know it just by two words, I guess maybe three words, the prodigal son. This story of redemption, it's an amazing story. It's a powerful story, and we've probably all heard several sermons or messages or exhortations on this story, but I think I'm going to bring it from a different perspective today than maybe what you would normally look at. So we're going to look at the account here in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. It says, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." We have this story where we see this son, the younger son, and he finds himself in a place where, quite frankly, it just seems like he just doesn't want to be who he is anymore. He just wants a change, wants something different in life. And the thing I like to remind myself of, and you as well, is that we don't know what is going on in the son's life, right? We don't really know a whole lot about what he is going through, what is happening, but the things that we do know are actually pretty good. We know his family is wealthy. We know that he works for his father, and sounds like, especially as you read through the story, you can tell he was really well taken care of. You know that he had a brother. You know that they had servants. I mean, it sounds like a pretty good life, doesn't it? Sounds like really the kind of life that's better than most, like the kind of life that you shouldn't have a lot of reasons to really complain. You want to go Dave Ramsey style, right? It's better than he deserved. And it's just kind of like, man, that life was a good life, especially from the outside looking in. But there's a day that something happens, and he goes to his dad and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance. I want what I have coming to me." And he gets that, and it says that he goes away. I think this is key, that he goes away from this place, but not just that he goes away, but he goes far away. He goes and leaves this comfort. He leaves this protection. He leaves this stability that he's had in his life, and he goes for the unknown. Some of you guys are terrified of the unknown, but others are intrigued by the unknown. Some of you are adventurous. And I see this boy is probably someone who was pretty adventurous, and I wonder what else there could be for me. And so what happens next? He goes far away, and he proceeds to waste everything. This prodigal living. When we think about prodigal living, vocab is not my strength. There's a lot of times I ask Xander what words mean, because Xander is like the word guy. He kind of knows what everything means. And I'm not good with words sometimes. And I always just associated that word with like lost, right? Because the prodigal son, he's a son who leaves, gets lost, and comes home. And so I was just synonymous to me, the lost son. Like, it means going away or something. But prodigal actually means reckless living. It actually means wild living or foolish living. So it's not just that he was lost, but it's that he was reckless and wild and foolish as he had gone away. And this young man, again, if you look at what we do know about his life, it seems like he probably had some pretty good responsibility and some structure and some stability and accountability in his life. And then look at where he ends up. Broke. Feeding pigs and starving. Wishing he could just eat some of that pig slop. Now you might be thinking, well, at least kind of good for him, right? Because he got a job, right? I mean, he ran out of money. He at least went and got a job, which is to say, you know, something for, you know, in America, he probably wouldn't have got a job, right? I mean, look around. There's help wanted everywhere. There's a lot of people without jobs. It's the best time in your life to go find a job. It is. Great. There's never been a better buyer's market for somebody who's looking for employment than right now. But this guy goes and gets this job, but what you need to know about this job is this guy, as a Jewish man, he takes this job that Jewish men were actually forbidden from doing in his culture. They had a saying that went like this: cursed is the man that feeds the swine. They wouldn't do that. They would have servants who fed the swine. So now this prodigal son has come to the point in his life where he believes, I've messed things up and I've ruined things so bad that I might as well accept my curse. I'm cursed. I'm done for. It's over. I might as well go and feed pigs for that guy who has the help wanted sign in his yard, right? And so this morning, as we reflect on this son in his lowly state, what I hope that you can do is what I was able to do, is look at this son and see where you were this son in your life. Maybe even are right now this son in your life. Because see, this is not a salvation story, although we're in need of a savior. Amen? We know that Jesus died on the cross to pay that penalty for our sin, to pay that price, and that it's in him and him alone that we find salvation. It's only Jesus who defeated death and offers us new life and reconciliation to our Creator. And we know that that's available today, amen, if we need to find that. If you need that, it's here for you today. But this story right here is about a son. Everybody say son. It's important that we remember who this guy is. He's a son. That means he already belonged. That means he already had it all, that he had the provision of the Father, that he had the love of the Father, he had the blessing of the Father, and he chose to turn his back on it and walk away. Not only did he do that, but it says that he went to a far away land. He ain't just going around the corner. He's like, I'm going completely the opposite direction. I'm getting up out of this place. I got what I wanted. I got my inheritance. Peace out. I'm going to go enjoy my life, Dad. Nice knowing you. Some of you can see yourself in the shoes of the son right now. Some of you can picture yourself right there, but for the rest of you, I want you to squint real hard right here, and I want you to really look to see yourself, because maybe you haven't found your place in, or yourself in that place where you have run from God. Maybe you haven't found yourself in that place where you've turned your back and completely walked away from God entirely. But listen, I bet you have for just a moment. I bet you have for maybe a day here and there, or maybe a couple of weeks, or maybe a couple of months. Not that you didn't still have faith, right? This is what we all say. I'm saying we. We all say, right, when we're kind of turning our back and walking away from the Father with our blessing in hand to do what we want, we all say, well, I still believe, right? I still have faith. Well, that's good. That's good. We still have that faith. I still love Jesus, but I just want to go on a journey, right? I just want a little break. I just want to head the other way. I want to do my own thing. See, no matter how good we have it, we all get to this point at some point in our lives where we just, for a little bit, I just don't want to be me. I want to be something else. I just want to do something else. I just want to experience some kind of journey. I want to break from whatever it is, routine or responsibilities, accountability. We just decide that we want the blessing. God, thank you for the blessing. How many of you are thankful to be blessed today? Thank God for the blessing. Thank God for his provision. But listen, I'm telling you that we're all guilty of grabbing that blessing, grabbing that inheritance, and then going our own way. We're all guilty of it. You might be guilty of it today. Now, can you see yourself in the Son? Can you see yourself in his shoes where you have taken that blessing and walked away with it to do your own thing? How often do people put a hand out to Jesus like, Lord, fill my cup, right? We all want our cup filled. Lord, pour it out. Lord, I want the blessings of heaven upon my life. And listen, because he is good and because he loves you, he will fill you up. He will fill that cup. He will pour out his blessings on you, only to probably see it at some point in your life turn around and walk away. And before you know it, you can be far away. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Those are the things that we take our inheritance to go and do instead. Those things that are fulfilling to our lives, to the flesh, to our desires. This right here is a description of that prodigal living, of that recklessness in our lives. This one that leads us to a place where we wind up like the Son. And listen, the Son hit rock bottom financially, mentally, emotionally, morally. He found himself in this place of corruption because he took the blessing and went to do his own thing. Now, what does it take to snap you out of that? What does it take to turn you back around to become that son that you are meant to be? Verse 17 tells us, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. But when he came to himself, he came to himself. You know, somebody says, oh, you've come to, right? If somebody's passed out, they're knocked out, you know, something's going on, you had a surgery and you've been sedated, what happens when they're alert, when they're awake again? They've come to. It just means to recover consciousness. But it says he came to himself. I want to tell you, this is not a self-help message. This isn't go and find yourself deep within or any of that kind of stuff. I want you to hear me clearly. He came to himself. He has this awareness of who he is. He had an awareness of who he belonged to. It's like he looked around and he thought, what in the world am I doing? This isn't me. This is not where I belong. I'm a son. I'm a son of my Father. It's like the Holy Spirit brought an awakening in his life, just like he will in your life and in my life when we find ourselves in this place. John 16, 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He guides you to all truth. See, it's like the Son had an awakening. He came to himself. He had a realization of who he was. He knew what the truth was in his identity. And see, the flesh will tell you that you should live your life the way that you want, right? We excuse sin in our lives. Why do we lie? Because we don't want to know the truth. We don't want to admit the truth, but oftentimes we don't even want to know the truth. We want to just be comfortable doing whatever it is that we're doing. Our flesh will tell us, live life the way that you want. Doesn't God want you to be happy? That's a lie. There's no scripture that says God wants you to be happy. Like, that's taking scripture out of context. I don't think God wants you to be unhappy. I'm just saying God doesn't want you to just satisfy the desires, the sinful desires of your life, because they make you feel good. He doesn't want you getting drunk and sleeping around and gossiping or putting your family above your, or your job above your family, or your family above your relationship with Christ. He doesn't just want you to do what makes you happy. But remember, you're a son. If you're a child of God, we have this assurance, we have this thought that after all, I am saved, right? He said, it is finished. So, I mean, does it really matter what I do? Right, the once saved, always saved, where you just kind of receive that salvation and go live your life. Listen, Jesus said it is finished. But I want to tell you something. When he said that, what he said and what he meant is that his job was finished. His work was finished. You're not finished. You're not finished. You are a work in progress. You're one of two things in this life. You're either a sinner that is guilty of sin and heading to hell in need of a savior. That's number one. You can be that kind of person, or you can be one that's been born again and the Holy Spirit is leading you to all truth in your life to lead you to Jesus, to conform you to the image of Christ. That's it. You can only be one of those two kinds of people in this life. Listen, the reason he's trying to conform us to the image of Christ is because that is the way you were created, in his image. And Jesus isn't a drunk or a homosexual or an adulterer or an addict or a gossiper or any of those things. He's holy. He is holy, different, a cut above, set apart, unlike any other person or thing on this earth. And whatever it takes for you to realize that, whatever it takes to realize that you are called to be like Jesus, you've got to come to this place where you come to yourself, this awareness of who you are and of what you are doing. It takes an awakening in our lives. It takes a coming to be able to be aware of what's going on. Coming to ourselves, just this awareness, like the prodigal son, something clicked. I don't know what it was. It kind of sounds like it. Maybe it's the starvation and the looking at the pig slop and wishing that he could have it, but something caused him to remember what it was like at his father's house. Something, like when we remembered communion earlier, and I said to just focus on these elements and let these things take you back. Let these things bring you back to a place, and something in his life brought him back to this place of I'm a son, and I remember what it's like at my father's house. Verse 18, he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Church, there's a word for this, and the word is repentance. This right here is repentance. Too often we, again, believe this lie in our lives because we like to be comfortable with how we're living. We believe this lie that repentance is a one-time event reserved for salvation. But listen, repentance should be continually upon the hearts of the children of God. It should be continually upon the hearts of the children of God. It's a changing of the mind. You guys have probably heard repentance said like this before. It's a turning around, but it's also a changing of a mind of the mind. But I want to tell you the Greek definition adds something to that, and it says a changing of the mind with an abhorrence of past sins. To abhor those past sins. That's a deep hatred. It actually means that you find those sins offensive. You are offended by the sin in your life, and you become in opposition to it. You don't just link arms with it and turn around and be like, come on, let's head to Jesus. You become an opponent of your sin. It becomes offensive to you. What do you do when people become offensive to you? Do you link arms and, hey, let's go hang out, come to our family gathering? You're like, get as far away from me as you possibly can. I find you offensive, right? I am in opposition to everything that you say or that you represent. That's how we are to look at the sin in our life. This is repentance. It's this coming to, this awareness of who we are in Christ, and we come against the sin in our life to repent. This is more about the condition of our heart than anything else, but to get here, right? To get here, the Son had to come to himself. Now, once he comes to himself, the next step, we see that he comes to the Father. Verse 20, it says, then he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The son arose. He got up when he had this awakening, when he had this coming to moment, and he came to his father. This is a big step right here when someone comes to, when they have a revelation, when they have this realization of what is going on in their life and what they need to do. But I want to tell you, this is just as big of a step is when they actually act upon it. What are you going to do with what you have come to know about yourself? We have a tendency to just sulk or pout or feel sorry for ourselves. But this son has decided. He looks around and he thinks, how much lower can I get? Right? I mean, I am at the bottom. I'm feeding swine. I'm doing a job that's for cursed men. And I'm so hungry that I'm about ready to eat some of this pig slop. I mean, I can't get any lower than I am right now. I can't get any farther than I am from where I've been. And I know that I'm far away, but he had this realization that he was a son. And so the next thing was he thought, I need to get near my father again. And so it says that he arose and he came. Isn't that the hardest thing for us to do? Is to act on it? To actually respond to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart? Yep, got that. Everybody likes for God to speak to them. Amen? I mean, we all like that. Everybody wants to hear from God. Now, you don't necessarily want to do what God tells you to do. You just want to hear from him. And you're like, Not that. Can you give me something fresh? Right? Give me something new. Like, I've heard that before. And he's like, yeah, because you're not doing it. Like, get up. Get to work. Get going. The hardest thing for us to do is to arise and then come to him. It's the hardest thing we have to do. We like to sit around. How many of you guys are with me now? We like to sit around. I'm going to wait for God to come to me. Right? Oh, he gets tired of waiting for me. He'll come to me. I'm going to give you, this is the golden nugget, right? Sometimes you throw out little chicken nuggets. You throw out a good little snack. This is a golden nugget right here. You don't eat this one. You keep it. If you're sitting around waiting for God to come to you, you're going to be waiting a long time because he already has. He already did it. He already came. And so we are the ones who turned around and we walked away and we're waiting for God to come and chase us down. And all the while, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us and telling us, you need to arise and you need to come back. It's on you today. You're sitting around waiting for God to come, but he already came. It's your turn to act. And when we do that, when we arise and we come, church, we too, just like this prodigal son, we will, I promise you, you will see the love and you will see the compassion of the Father in heaven, just like that boy did with his father on earth. This embrace, this excitement that you have returned. The son tells him, he says, Father, I'm no longer worthy. Right? I'm not worthy. I'm just let me be a servant. Let me be the worst guy here, because the worst guy here is better off than the best guy out there. Just let me be a servant. I don't deserve this title of son. I'm going to tell you something that I saw in that. This moment here where he says that I don't deserve the title of son. Some of you guys are probably like, well, he deserves it. Like, it's who he is. But I want to tell you something that's unique right here. This is a sign that his repentance was genuine. This right here is a sign that his repentance is genuine, because he doesn't come back and say, God, I want you to restore me to all the blessing, all the favor, all the stuff that you'd already given me that I wasted, that I messed up, that I squandered. I want you to just restore me. Put me back in my position. He just comes back and he's like, I don't need anything. Just let me be the worst guy here. I just want you. I just want to be in your presence. I want to be in that place that I belong. I want to be home. I want to be in your presence. Do you have somewhere I can serve? Do you have somewhere where I can get my hands dirty and just do something to serve? I'm sure this son is just like, man, if I can just get there and get a shower, right? I can get some clean clothes. If I can get me a good meal, just the basics. If I can just get some basic provision and just serve like everybody else, just give me what the servants get. Man, that's a good life. That's a good life. Verse 22 tells us the father's response. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This son came to himself, and then he came to the father. And what we see the result of that is he comes to renewal. This son that was just hoping for the least, just hoping for the bare minimum, and the father says, that's not good enough for my son. See, he didn't have to come back and say, Father, your son is home. He said, I just want to be here. I just give me a place. And the father says, oh no, oh no, you're my son. And that stuff that you asked for, I can do that, but I want to do more, because you are my son and I love you, and we're bringing out the best. We're rolling out the red carpet. And notice, church, there's not one single word of rebuke from the Father, is there? There's not one word of rebuke. Not one. I can tell you why, and it's important that we know why. There's not one word of rebuke from the Father. This is why. Jesus does not condemn the children of God. He does not condemn the children of God. See, condemnation involves shame. And a lot of earthly fathers in this situation would be like, you idiot. Would you, you took everything and you went and blew it and now you come back? Well, sure, you can move back in. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to pay it off, right? We would probably be a little harsh. We'd probably give them a little shame, right? Kind of make them feel bad for it. But listen, God is not like man. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. He does not condemn his children because he does not bring shame upon his children. He doesn't make it weighty for us. He doesn't bring us down. And what we see with this son is the son had already repented, remember? He had already repented. When he came to himself, he had this conviction of the Holy Spirit that led him to repentance. He already realized what he did wrong. He already knew. He was just coming home. He's just coming home. This isn't one of those wait till your father gets home kind of things. You got in trouble once, right? How many of you guys had that as a kid? You got your behind whipped by mom, but then it was like also wait till your father comes home. You're getting it again, and it's going to be worse. And there's times where I think that we have that mindset when it comes to our spiritual walk. Man, well, I did repent, or I talked to a brother about it. I was like, hey, here's what I'm going through. I've fallen short. Will you pray for me? But I'm still afraid to go and talk to God about that. Because I already kind of feel like I got a little bit of punishment, but like it's going to be a lot worse for me. But listen, it's not wait till your father comes home so you can get it again kind of situation, because God does not condemn you and bring you down. His Spirit convicts you, and when you repent, he lifts you up and renews. Amen? This is the way God works. The Father brought out these gifts, these things, and each one says a special thing about his acceptance of the Son. He brings out this robe. You know what these robes were reserved for? They were reserved for the guest of honor. The guest of honor. I mean, we're talking like you ever been to one of those hotels where you get that really big, fat, just like the most comfortable robe you've ever had in your life, but you can only wear it while you're there unless you want to pay like $100 for it. You could take it home. I mean, I'm talking like it was a nice robe. Like the Father brings that thing out and he's probably like, I've always wanted to wear that thing, right? Like I've always seen that thing hanging on the wall and I'm like, man, I wish I could wear that thing, but it's for a guest of honor. This shows what the Father thinks about his return. My son is here, and man, he's a guest of honor. This means something. He gives him this ring. What a ring meant then, this wasn't a marriage ring, right? This ain't just like some ring just to wear it, but it's a symbol of authority. He's like, I'm putting you back, right? It's some restoration. I'm giving you authority in my house. Why? Because you're my son. You're not going to be a servant. You're going to have authority in my house because you're an heir to my home. You're my son. He gives them these sandals. These sandals were not worn by slaves, and this again signified his full restoration as sonship, right? These are for my son. This is who I see you as. This is how I view you. This son came to himself. Then he came to the Father, and then he comes to a place of renewal. And if you're familiar with this story, you know how the older son reacts. He's not too happy, is he? He gets a little bent out of shape. He gets a little worked up, in fact, because why? He stayed faithful. I didn't take my inheritance. I didn't mess it up. I didn't squander it. I stayed here. I worked hard, probably picked up the slack for this guy, right, who's been gone. I probably did all of his work. I've been here this whole time, and now here you are doing all this stuff for the one who strayed. Verse 32, 31 tells us the father's response to him. He says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found." This right here, church, is a reminder. It's a reminder that there is nothing greater than a soul that is returned to Christ. Nothing greater. He says, you know what? To the older son, you've been with me the whole time and all that I have is already yours. Like, what do you got to complain about? You've got everything that he gave up, that he's trying to get back. You've had it the whole time. It's all still yours. You're taken care of. You are in a good place. You are a full heir to the throne. This isn't about you versus him. You already have it all. But hallelujah, my son has returned. And church, whether it's salvation or restoration, when we think about coming to, it all has to end up at the same place. Come to Jesus. Amen? It has to end up at the same place. We have to come to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I love this passage here. It says that, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." That's good stuff. Amen? I mean, that is good stuff. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. If you read that, it's got to make you love God. It's got to make you have some kind of reaction to Jesus and say, wow. Whether I've been faithful the whole time or whether I've took the inheritance and run, and I'm on my way back wherever I'm at or anywhere in between. When you read something like that and you think about this great love with which he has loved us, it's got to make you think, wow, that is an awesome God. That, guys, that's a God who is worthy of our praise. Like, that is a God who is worthy of saying, you know what, here I am. Whatever I got, it's yours, because really it's not that much compared to what you have for me. Giving up my life for you is not really that much compared to what you gave up for me. It's got to make you come to a place of awe where we can say that, Jesus, you really are awesome. Amen? I mean, he really is. This is the wow factor. Right, when they're talking about talent shows and stuff, they're always talking about the wow factor. Like, what's the thing? What's the thing that you got that can make us say, wow, that really stands out? Church, this is it. This is the wow factor, is that Jesus loves you with a great love even when you were dead in your trespasses. That he loved you in that great love. And he will again and again. And again, will you stand with me? You know, this morning, I don't know what you're in need of in this place. But I'm going to tell you that we have a God here who says he is rich in mercy. And you may be in need of mercy this morning. If you're in need of mercy, you're in the right place. Mercy is not receiving what you got coming. Mercy. Like, I surrender. And God says, I'm not going to put that on you. I'm going to come. I'm going to greet you on your way with a hug, with a kiss. I'm going to bring out all these things, this robe and this ring and these sandals, these things for you. If that's you this morning, listen. Come. Come to Jesus. He is waiting. He is ready. If you need to experience the love of God, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the millionth time, listen, he is always, always, always ready and willing to give you that embrace, this grace, this kindness that he speaks of. It's in endless supply. If you need salvation this morning, listen, today is the day of salvation. I know I say that a lot, but I believe that every single day that it is true. Today's the day. Like, stop waiting. Yes, consider the cost. But man, today's the day to surrender all to Jesus Christ. If you're one, maybe you found yourself in this place like the prodigal son, and you're like, I know I've strayed. I know I've taken my blessing. I've taken my inheritance. I've taken these good things that God has given me in my life, and then I've gone and done my own thing, and I feel like maybe I've kind of squandered it all. I feel like I've lived that reckless living, that prodigal life. Listen, today's the day to repent. Today's the day to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And he will. That's the thing you need to understand. It's a lie of the enemy to think that God won't forgive me. That I've done too much. I've done it too many times. I've blown my chances. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. He's rich. When somebody's rich, it means they got a lot, church. He's rich in mercy. He's got more than enough for all of us. And so today's that day for repentance, to come to yourself, know who you are, come to Jesus, and come for renewal. Maybe it's been a day, a week, a month, years since you turned and you went to that faraway land, but I'm telling you, he's a God who's ready to celebrate that return. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word today. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I know we sang about that earlier today, but Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that if we even turn our back on you and run away, that when we come to return, to come home, to return to your presence, that you will greet us with an embrace, that you will greet us with compassion, that you will greet us with love and with mercy in abundance. God, we thank you, Lord, that you don't turn your back on us, but that you, if we just come in that place of repentance, that Lord, I'm just here to serve you. I just want to worship at your feet. When we come to that place that you say, no, you're a son. You're a daughter. You belong to me, and I want to bless you today. I'm not just going to invite you back in, but I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to give you maybe even some things that you never even had. That today's the day, son, that you're going to get to wear the robe. Today's the day, son, that the meal, the feast is in your honor. That you get to sit by my side because I'm thankful to have you back. I'm thankful to have you back. And so, Jesus, I pray for every person in this place that today you would speak to our hearts. You would reveal to us where we fall in this story today. Reveal to us what our need is of you, and that today you would bring us to that place where we could come to ourselves, but that it would lead us to come to you. We pray for renewal. We pray for salvation. We pray for you to work in miraculous ways to heal, to deliver, to set free. God, we just surrender all to you right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.